Yeah, very good evening, and you're welcome along to another edition of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. We once again have an action-packed show to bring you as we tiptoe our way through the month of September. The semi-finals are more or less completed in the Kerry Petroleum Club Football Championships, bar the junior, of course. We've got all the finals to look forward to next weekend across the senior intermediate and, of course, the junior premier. We'll also be chatting about the Bonsecours Ladies Football Championship. That's continuing in the Kingdom as well. We'll be chatting to Dan Carney a little later on. The Kingdom Warrior, Kevin Cronin, will be popping in to say hello as well. He had a fantastic win in the Three Arena on Friday night. He's got a big bout coming up next month as well. So we'll be chatting to Kevin. And of course, a massive week for Kerry FC into the quarterfinal of the Sports Direct Men's FAI Cup, and huge excitement around the town here in Tralee ahead of that game on Friday night against Sligo Rovers. And we'll be chatting to our resident Kerry FC guru in Dermot Kearney to look ahead to what is probably the biggest game in Kerry FC's history as well. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the programme tonight, we'd love to hear your comments and what you thought of the games over the weekend, or what's coming up, or any of your other sporting matters, of course, after the weekend. What a fantastic scene it was in the K Club as well yesterday evening when Rory McIlroy sunk that eagle putt to force the playoff and to go on and win the Irish Open. A big week and a big couple of weeks for golf coming up, of course, with the Ryder Cup as well. So plenty of talking points across the weekend, sporting action as ever. Our phone lines are open, 066 712 3666. You'll be chatting to Niamh or Rob in our studio one if you give a call this evening. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, or as ever, if you're maybe abroad, or feel free to get in touch during the week, it's terracetalk@radiokerry.ie if you want to pen a little email to us. But we'll start as ever with the Kerry Petroleum Club Football Championships. We're joined on the line by Andrew Moynan, who's headed back to UL and to college, and in studio by the regulars of John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. Lads, you're very welcome. Another action-packed weekend we had. Liam, I suppose we'll start with the senior, like we've been doing the last couple of weeks, and work your way down. Two semi-finals, of course, we know our finalists. Saturday, a fantastic game inside Lewis Road between Nagail and Rathmore, and it was Nagail that came out by the slightest of margins in the end.
It was, Ivan, and I suppose Saturday evening was probably, out of the whole weekend, probably the worst of the weather.
Yeah.
No, the conditions were challenging. But I suppose, look, the Nagail bus rolls on. What a fantastic campaign they're after having. And I presume if they take the next step next weekend, that they might have a statue for Jack Sheehan above in the Nagail dressing rooms after the kicking the pint to put him over the line. Look, I suppose trailing by a point at half time, you would have thought, playing against the breeze, you would have fancied Rathmore. But I suppose Nagail were winning so much possession around the middle field, that middle diamond. It gave them great self-belief. And I think the attacking, driving out of defence with the ball. And I suppose every ball that was 50-50 defensively, they won it in the second half. They really stepped up in the second half. They kicked 9 points into the breeze, which is fantastic kicking. I suppose Rathmore will be disappointed with their second half performance. We've been saying here with the past couple of weeks how tough Rathmore are, and they're a team that have been around with a while, and they're hard to put away. But to be fair to them, they never gave up. But in the second half, they came across a Nagail team, led by Jack Barry, the Barry brothers, the three Barry brothers. I thought Stephen Uckenbar as well made some fantastic runs up the field. Mm-hmm. You could see he doesn't want to kick the ball but when he does open up them legs, he can get past players very, very easily, driving them forward. So overall, I suppose towards the end, Rathmore had chances maybe to either level it, but I think Nagail on their second half performance deserved the win.
Yeah, John, definitely deserved the win. It said Rathmore probably stayed in it for the majority, but just fell short in the end. It's amazing maybe what a two-pointer could have robbed Nagail right at the end as well. It's just they are tight margins, and Nagail are still going strong and into a final.
Yeah, it was a huge night for Nagail, Ivan, to be fair. But, like Liam said there, a pint at half-time and the wind coming. But I felt at half-time that the style of football they had and the way they were playing, that short passing game, and the amount of possession they were getting. You know, they were winning ball, but they were inspired by Andrew Barry. You know, Liam mentioned the Barry brothers, but I thought Andrew was outstanding.
Yeah, very good.
You know, he dominated. Mm-hmm. He was the go-to man. He is running out of defence, didn't give a ball away, and you know, he was backed up by Fergal, Jack Doyle, you know, the middle of the field, and then Dermot O'Connor. You know, when the need was greatest, Dermot struck, and you know, he had one or two wides, and a lesser player wouldn't have gone again, but he did into the wind. Let's not forget Conor Bohan. He came up for a free, a two-pointer, and you know, into the wind. It just judged it to perfection. Shane Ryan was swinging off the crossbar, you know, got really up high, but it just dropped in the net, and a historic night for Nigel. Ratmore would be disappointed because, if you know, a neutral would have felt at half time with the two goals from Kieran Collins and John Meinen, that with the wind at their back, they'd kick on. They didn't. But Nigel dug deep. They needed it more, I think, being honest. And, you know, they grew into it and richly deserved it in the end. And, you know, history, it's hard to make history. Their first senior final, you know, what a transformation to last year and earlier on this year. But it just goes to show, when you get your players back, when you have a full deck to pick from, and I don't think there's a coincidence either, Donal Rooney is back at the helm. You know, he seems to get the best out in a gale, and, you know, it's a great week for the Tralee team, and you know, they'll be looking forward to the final.
And when you have our big players playing well as well, John, like you, Dermot kicking 4 points, Jack Barry kicked 3 yeah. points, you know, the van up front, you know, they're all scoring, so the big players, the other Barry brothers as well, you know, all the big players are playing well for them.
And as well as that, Liam, I thought the half forward line, James E. Connor, O'Shane Manson and Tomás Hanifín, they were outstanding.
Yeah.
They worked really hard, and Dara Devine aside kicked the freeze in the first half, but the lads worked their socks off and they contested everything. And that's what you have to do on a bad night when conditions were poor. Underfoot was very good in Loose Road, but the wind and the rain made it slippery. They dug deep.
Yeah. One man you mentioned there, John, and he was actually in the seat that you're sitting in just a couple of weeks ago, was Conor Bohan, of course, goalkeeper for the Abidorny Hurlers as well. He used to play with us inside in Croke, so I know Conor well, and kind of coming into that Nigel team this year for the first year, and he's proven himself, and even, you know, to be saving shots, whatever else, but the ability to kick those two pointers is massive from the goalkeeper to come up as well.
Yeah, that was a huge strike. You know, it was a great kick, and particularly into the wind, it was at a vital stage of the game, and you know, you could sense that the crowd reacted to it, and certainly the rest of the players reacted.
Yeah, a Leash man as well playing his football with Nigel. We'll go to Andrew in just a second, but Liam, I suppose just from your point of view, I suppose, look, a lot of people, and I think it's fair to say, have written off Nigel over the last couple of years and kind of saying that, you know, if there was relegation, they were probably the bottom team in the senior, but they've really, really come on this year and maybe surprised a lot of people. And I'd say if you kind of looked at the odds back at the very start of the campaign, you know, Nigel might have been one of the longest prices as well, but it just goes to show that if you can get your campaign together, it is short enough. It's kind of straight through into your quarter final. They got caught with the draw against Dingle. We were all saying that, you know, very unlucky them. They've dispatched them. They've come through now against Rathmore and into a final. You know, huge credit must go to them.
Oh, massive. And I would agree with John that, like, that it's no coincidence that Donal Rooney and the management team mm-hmm. have really got the best out of these guys. But it just shows that momentum is huge, and momentum in a game and momentum of winning. Like, it breeds confidence, you know, and especially when games are week in, week out, because when you go into training Tuesday night, you're bouncing after a win the weekend. You know, form is good, the crack is good, there's probably a few hot balls, you know, everyone. It's different when you go in there after a loss, there's pressure starts to build and stuff like that. And Nigel have been slowly building that momentum. And I think, you know, a team with momentum like that are very dangerous, because they probably will go into the final next weekend as underdogs again, you know, and with the teams they're after beating, they'll fear no one.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think another big thing as well, and we said it earlier, was when you have our big boys playing well, and when you have no injuries, and you know, a lot with the last couple of years, they have been hampered with injuries, people going away for different reasons and stuff like that. But the whole thing, it's like a rising tide. It has come good from all their players have come back. They have no injuries. The management team, you know, so, and like I said, momentum is huge in Gaelic games at the moment.
Yeah, Andrew is on the line, and I think Liam's hit the nail on the head there. Momentum for Nigel. Andrew, of course, we mentioned dispatched the town rivals in Austin Stacks in the group stages, beat Dingle in a quarter final. Maybe that quarter final was the best thing to happen to Nigel, that this run could continue, and now they've gone all the way to the final.
Yeah, they'd be delighted. And I suppose, I mean, compared to where they were at this time last year, I mean, they would have been very disappointed with how their 2024 panned out. I think they lost in the opening round of that county championship to Shannon Rangers last year. And now you look at them here this year, back into their historic first final for Nigel. And as you said, it's a good point that maybe they would have liked that quarterfinal just to keep that momentum going. Because if you look at the teams in the competition, Nigel probably have that most momentum. They're picking up win after win. That was a real statement of intent in Connolly Park that night with the win over Austin Stacks. And like from where they came from, it's absolutely mesmeric. And led by their big men, as Liam mentioned, Dermot O'Connor and Andrew Barry were just instrumental. Dermot O'Connor has two goals and 13 points in the championship. He's the third top scorer you could say midfielder. Obviously, he's playing a bit of a deeper role, but he's been absolutely fantastic. And this is a Nigel team too, down Damian Burke, who's unfortunately down to an injury. So, you know, another inter-county player who had a good year with Kerry, and they're missing him. But what I was impressed with, if you look at maybe both sides, the inter-county star showed in the final few minutes of the game, in the final quarter. Shane Ryan hit that 2-point free. Dermot O'Connor took the lead shortly after. Paul Murphy went down for a score. Once again, he got another late score two games in a row. But it was Jack Sheehan, of course, who got that what came out to be the winning score. Fantastic game, given the conditions. It was real edge of the seat stuff in the second half. But led by the Barrys, Dermot O'Connor and Auchinburgh, of course, a deserved win for Nigel in the end.
Yeah, and of course, in the home of Dr. Crokes, they're winning. They'll be taking on Dr. Crokes next weekend in the final, Liam. Looking very formidable against what was a good Kemer team. I think the injury to probably Sean O'Shea was disappointing for them in their challenge, but can't take anything away from Crokes in their performance.
Yeah, even, and you could see Sean was struggling yesterday. You know, he couldn't really get the legs moving, and I suppose Kilmare really need a Sean O'Shea at his best, especially at the latter stages of competitions like this, when you come up against a Crokes team like, which six Kerry seniors, and you could pick them out yesterday. To be fair, the Kerry seniors, John Reilly, yeah. They were really driving them forward. I thought Billy Courtney had a fabulous first half. Actually, he played very well all through, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But the first half, he worked his socks off, kicked two massive 45s. You know, so they seem to pull someone every year, Ivan Crokes. You know, there's always, I know Shaw looked as if he picked up a bit of a hamstring injury, but they won't worry about that because they have so many players that can fit into different positions, and they all play the same way as well. You know, Micheál Burns wasn't 100%, as a Micheál Burns could play yesterday, mm-hmm. but when needed towards the end, he kicked two great points in the second half. And with the likes of Mark Shea in the middle of the field, Tony Rosslyn kicked 8 points. Like, Tony was turning on a penny yesterday. You could see when he got the ball, all he wanted to do was either kick it over the bar or go for goal. And defensively, Fionn Fitzgerald, the everlasting Fionn Fitzgerald's fullback, outstanding. The way he can read the game, the way he can drive forward. Gavin White, he's gone on since his All-Ireland final campaign, the way he's played his runs, and even when he gets the ball, the crowd you can hear the gasp in the crowd. This fella's gone at 100 miles an hour. Evan Looney, there's so many positives in that Crokes team. They're going to be a hard team to beat for anyone for the rest of the year.
Yeah, John, very few negatives. It was unusual to see Crokes not score a goal. Maybe we're usually seeing them rattle the net at least once in a game, but they'd have no fear of that going to final against Nigel, and they'd be hoping to rattle the net in the final maybe instead of the semi-final.
I agree with you, Ivan. They were comfortable throughout, to be fair, and you'd have to say, like Liam said about Sean O'Shea, carrying an injury wasn't himself, and the huge loss, Donal O'Sullivan, was nullified by the Crokes defence. And Liam has mentioned that as there. I thought Potts and Neil O'Shea were outstanding inside. Their anticipation, winning the 50-50 ball, look at Brian Looney above again, hugging the sideline, making himself available, Tony Brosnan kicking 8 points. But I thought Mark O'Shea at midfield, he has improved in stature and in confidence. Since his involvement with Kerry. Yeah. He just went through the defence, he just glided his way through, and Billy Courtney as well was excellent. But I thought that, they're an example, and people are probably sick of me saying this. You look at Dr. Crokes, they're a joy to watch as a neutral, because the style of football they play, their movement on and off the ball, their shot selection, but I think their ability to up the pace and to slow it down is just incredible, really. And that comes from the coaching. That doesn't happen. But, you know, and they get on with it. You know, David Shaw picked up the injury. You know, they just got on with it. And they were comfortable winners without being pressed by Kinmare, I have to say.
But even watching Crokes on the sideline, and, you know, sometimes we get a blackguard in here that we're Crokes fans and stuff like that. But, like, their standards, you know, every player is held to a high standard. And if you are not up to that standard, you'll be left known. Yeah. You know, we're watching them the sideline, and we're watching the players themselves. Everyone is held to kind of a, like I said, a high standard, and you got to meet that. And like even Shane Ryan or Shane Murphy's saves as well, a couple of saves as well yesterday. Yeah. You know, but like I said, they have six Kerry seniors. You know, so yeah. that says enough.
A difference maker.
That says
yeah.
enough.
And they did play well as well. You can have the players, but yeah. you have to lead. Yeah. And the other thing was noticeable yesterday is just looking from the terrace down. You know, you have Owen Brosnan, chairman of the club, former Kerry star. You have Andrew Kennelly. You have Luke Quinn, you know, Pat O'Shea, obviously, but these guys have given their time and lifetime to football in Crokes. They're coming back now to give more.
Give more,
and
yeah.
That's what it's all about, really.
We're not going to forget Stephen Brosnan.
Stephen Brosnan,
yeah,
right,
absolutely yeah. not. Probably the most passionate of all on the sideline is Stephen. Andrew, I suppose, you know, looking ahead now to next week and, you know, in the Gael in their first senior final, Dr. Crokes well used to the occasion and everything else, it still has the makings of a fantastic game.
Yeah, the Gael have nothing to fear heading into next weekend, not at all, because as we said earlier, momentum is all towards the Gael, and Crokes do what Crokes do, like they did against Kinmare yesterday. It felt like more than a 5-point win in reality. Mm-hmm. That was all it was in the end. But it is all the making still of a very intriguing game, because both teams will know of obviously the club championship. It's grown in that kind of stature, let's say, in recent years with the county championship and East Kerry's the divisional side domination has come to fruition, that both sides will be gunning to win it out here, because it maybe guarantees that Munster spot. I suppose it's as the old saying goes, it's hard to look past the Crokes to get over the line and kind of do what they have to do. Even yesterday, how they worked their scores in such manageable fashion. Maybe one thing in next weekend that Nigel can look at, the three injuries Crokes had, we don't know the severity of that, with Michael Potts, Tom Doyle and David Shaw all going off injured, so that may be a bit of concern, but who knows, maybe we might see all three back out on the field next weekend. But it'll make for an absolutely fantastic battle in the middle of the field when you see lads like Mark O'Shea going up against Dermot O'Connor, Stephen Uckenbar, Jack Barry, and look, it is all the makings of a fantastic game. I don't think there's any confirmation of time or fixture yet, but that'll be one to go to no matter.
Yeah, we actually got it today, Andrew, which is good to hear for kind of support, I suppose, the neutral as well. The intermediate and senior are going bunny in a double header on Sunday at 1:30, 3:30. So hopefully a good crowd for both senior and the intermediate. Liam, I suppose Andrew mentioned there that you know, Nigel have nothing to lose, and they can probably look at it that way as well and go in and play that kind of free flowing football that we've seen from Nigel. As he said, kind of nothing to lose. Everyone will be hotly tipping Dr. Crokes this week to win this one. So Nigel can just go out. The weather, God only knows what's going to happen. We've been through different sorts of weather conditions the last couple of weekends. So it's just a case of Golden Tostack Park. It's a pitch they know well. Treat it as any other game, and who knows?
Yeah, and I suppose, look, it's a kind of a saying that you have nothing to lose, but it's a county final. No, so I'm just hoping that Nigel will go out and go at it, because we've seen it down through the years where the underdog has kind of held back a small bit and afraid and playing defensively and stuff like that. But against the Crokes, you have to go at the Crokes. No, because if you sit back, they'll only pick you off. Mm. Like John said earlier, they can slow the game down, they can speed it up, and they can do what they want if you stand off them. So I think there is going to be fantastic battles around the middle of the field. You have two of the Kerry midfielders there with Dermot and Mark O'Shea up against each other. You have Jack Barry, who's probably playing as good as football as we've seen in years from Jack Barry. That break has done him wonders. Now you have the likes of Stephen Uckenbar, you have Gavin White, you've so many interesting battles around that middle diamond, and I think that middle diamond is so important, as we've seen with Kerry this year, and especially in club football as well. No, you have to win so much possession around there so you can give advantage to our forwards. You know, so if the likes of Dermot and Jack can win a lot of possession, you're starving the likes of Tony and these guys in inside. You know, so it's going to be very important around that middle of the field.
Yeah, John, as Liam mentioned, there are some exciting matchups between the two teams, and the best two teams we've seen in this championship are in the final, which is always great.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You know, they're there in merit. You know, maybe people are surprised with Nigel, but they've grown their way through. They've improved in every game, and they've got there. And you know, in bad conditions the last night, that was a super victory for them. There are some intriguing battles. It remains to be seen who'll be on who, but you take the inter-county men alone. You know, when you look at the likes of Evan Looney and Mark O'Shea, Gavin White, you know, Tony, Michael Burns, and a player that I thought he was outstanding, Liam, yesterday again, was Keane McMahon.
McMahon kicked two great points in the second half.
As well as Looney, you know, Keane was back foraging in defence, kicked two great points, and, you know, emptied the tank, and he was taken off near the end. But it could come down to these guys, the fringe players, we'll call them, not the intercounty guys, because sometimes they can cancel each other out.
Yeah.
And it could be up to these, you know, to take it up. But it's hopefully it'll be a spectacle, and the weather will be conducive to good football.
The weather, look after us, fingers crossed. Yes, as you mentioned, it's Sunday at 3:30, Ossenstack Park, at Nigel against Dr. Crokes. The Intermediate Championship, of course, the curtain raiser, in a fantastic double billing in Ossenstack Park, that between Fossa and Onguet. We'll chat a bit about the Intermediate after the break. Just want to clarify that the green and white bunting up in Tralee is in fact for Kerry FC ahead of that FAI Cup. It's been kind of the rumour mill over the weekend was the bunt put up for Nigel, and while the town can also support Nigel, it's there for Kerry FC as well.
That's Timmy Ambrose's fault.
They started it yesterday. I'm telling you, I was listening to it all day, and off air what they were saying to me, God, I won't repeat it. But Kerry, the Tralee Chamber, in fairness, putting a good effort into supporting the Kerry soccer side ahead of that cup game next week. But as we mentioned, Roder, we'll head back to the Intermediate after the break. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, or you can give a call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
No, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, where we're moving on to the Intermediate. We might start with Andrew since he's sitting on the phone, hopefully having a cup of tea or something away from us in the studio. Andrew, we'll start with, I suppose, Fossa and Kilcommon. Another fantastic game. Kilcommon be very, very unlucky maybe not to get the goal right at the end to draw extra time, but fair all credit due to Fossa as well.
Yeah, and it's been some story for us, I suppose, since winning that junior final in 2022. We made the intermediate final the following year, got to the semi last year, and now back in the final again this year. And the two teams produced an absolute cracker yesterday. Kilcommon, as you said, very unlucky. I shot off the post at the end to send that game to extra time. Just didn't go their way. 1-8 combined for the Cliffords, nearly outmatched by their cousins. 11 points for the O'Shea brothers, the 22 points combined from the cousins, but we were just treated to absolutely fantastic football, and it just showcased how great this intermediate championship here is. Kerry, makes me feel a small bit better as a Fireys man to see the two teams that beat us in the group perform so well and get to that semi-final. But I suppose Kilcommon's only downfall, and they know themselves, the chances that they missed, it's 6 shots dropped short and 17 missed chances in the end, which probably that's probably where the game was won and lost. It was a lot more economical for Fossa, but if you're talking about man of the match contenders, there were so many to pick from yesterday. Paddy Sheehan, David Clifford, of course, Emmett O'Shea and Kilcommon, Paul O'Shea, Keane Foley, Philip O'Leary also showed magnificently for them.
Yeah, Liam, they say goals but matches, and with the 2 points and everything, that nearly went away from us for a while, but they've proven again that Fossa, again, like Andrew just said, took their chances and won it.
They did, and I suppose for me, Ivan, it probably was the best game of I've seen so far in the championship. You had everything in it. You had goals, you had points, you had great defending, you had fantastic fielding around the middle of the field, you had excitement, everything you would want for the way the new rules have brought this into the game. But and it just shows, and it kind of throws my theory out the window, really, that you don't need a lot of possession around the middle of the field to win matches, especially one of the two Cliffords, because Fossa don't need a whole pile of possession because they're so economical with what they have. No, we said it here last week that they nearly all know their roles. No, and when you have David Clifford and Paddy, just give them the ball, then fill in the gaps around them. And to be fair, I was just watching him at O'Shea in the first half there as well. He had 3 points kicked in the first half. He ended up with 1-4, but there was so much attention being drawn to the two boys that he was able to take the ball in and kick his points. Mm-hmm. And I think Fossa have really kind of grown into that, like Paddy Sheehan in the second half there, found himself, not for the first time, up on the forward line, hit the back of the net. You know, Harry Buckley with the 41st minute, probably when it hit the post, the butt of the post, I thought that was their chance gone. But to be fair, I don't know how much you need to be up against the Cliffords and Fossa, because they always seem to dig him out of a hole. You know, some magic, like David's goal, you could see the minute he got the ball that he was just gliding past players. There was only one place where this was going to go. The second goal in that he set up for Paddy Sheehan. You know, it's just they're a joy to watch. They're worth the entry fee alone. You know, but like we said it last week, they're ably assisted by a lot of players around the field as well. It's not just a one man or a two man show. They are, and that's why they're in an intermediate final. Yeah. Because obviously, right, you're talking two of the greatest players probably we've seen or will ever see, maybe. But like when you have the likes of Owen Talbert there, number six, outstanding. No, you're Darren Ryan, Keane O'Shea around the middle of the field. Big bodies around the middle of the field, and that's going to make a very interesting battle against the Gaeltacht, because the Gaeltacht are a big physical team around the middle of the field as well. And there's going to be a lot of interesting matchups. The likes of Dan O'Connell, cornerback, Sam Buckley, you know, Kieran O'Shea, wingback. You know, they all did their bit, but they all know their role. That's what I find interesting in watching Fossa. They all know their role and they don't step outside their role. You have no fella coming up kicking a ball, you know, for the sake of kicking it. They had only five wides yesterday. Whole game, so they are very economical.
Yeah. John, I suppose for Kilcumin, probably a disappointment. Came in as one of maybe the favourites in the intermediate, are always kind of there and thereabouts, and unfortunately this year it's kind of going to be the same story. Falling short kind of at the second last hurdle, but plenty of positive maybe to take from the year, but I can imagine the disappointment in the village today.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed today, Ivan. You know, they kicked 16 points in the second half. Massive kicking, in fairness to them. You know, and they had some great performances again. You know, Paul O'Shea in the middle of the field, a couple of great two-pointers there, 5 points in the second half. I think Philip O'Leary kicked four. Mark O'Shea had two-pointers. Keane Foley had 4 points in the second half. But, you know, the difference between most teams at inter-county level this year has been the Clifford. And it was the difference yesterday. But I'd have to say, I had an interview with Paddy after in Clubber, and he made a point that the lads keep it going while we are away. You know, when you think about it. Yeah. And the respect he showed the teammates, that two players won't win it.
Yeah.
And I think it was emphasised as well, Owen Talbot, his centre-half back, was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Winning possession, snapping the brakes and driving up the field when it was needed into the wind. But Matt Rainey's introduction, they were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the 50th minute was level, but Rainey was in just before it as a ball winning option. Probably not fully fit. He seems to be carrying an injury. And when it was level, Ted O'Gorman, who's had a great championship, kicked a massive pint with his left leg to put him a pint ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But the three goals, the movement, the passing and the finishing were quality. And, you know, they deserved it. But what a spectacle for intermediate football. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it's probably one of the highest scoring games as well. 3-14 to 20 points we've seen. Definitely this weekend, if not throughout the championship as well, which is great and highly competitive. Andrew, I saw a good bit on social media, and it's funny how, you know, the second tier in Kerry can draw so much attention. But a lot of people obviously talk about the Cliffords and everything else. They do bring that sort of thing. But it's great to see the likes of their club then Fossa getting the plaudits online. That seems to be, you know, the most of the talk is around Fossa and how good of a team they proved, and I think a lot of the talk from social media was how are they not a senior team, which just goes to show how Fossa have come on the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's frightening, and I suppose if you're looking back, let's say 10, 15 years ago, you're on about, you're being told Fossa are at the latter stages of the Kerry Intermediate Championship, you'd be laughed at. But that's just where these two brothers and a sporting cast that's just coming on leaps and bounds year on year. That's what's happened to the club. And like, they were backed as, I think they were backed as favourites by at the start of the championship, and they are for sure, well, so far they are backing up being favourites. And I suppose, yeah, just for a club like Fossa, a small club in Clonmany that's growing year on year now, the way that they've just come on leaps and bounds, even since the junior final, you can see the improvements across the field. They've drawn stack back inside there this year. They have fresh players, players coming from minor and under 20 today. They would have had a lot of underage players. Of course, we talk about Emmett O'Shea as well as Rian Colleran, who didn't feature yesterday, but another minor for them. So they have plenty of underage panellists as well. So, yeah, back into a final once again for the second time in 3 years, Intermediate Championship. It just sounds crazy to say for a club like Fossa, but they are truly enjoying their glory days at the minute.
Yeah, and why not go to senior and keep those glory days going, and maybe even Croke Park for an intermediate final, dare we say it. But the big one in their way, Liam Rosson, is on Gaeltacht, another team that maybe have been in transition over the last couple of years, but are really firing this year in the intermediate. Dispatched Clare Legion by 2 points at the end, kind of a close enough one again, probably a game that Gaeltacht looked like winning for the majority, but Legion just never let them go.
Exactly, 2-16 to 2-14, good kicking, you know, a lot of excitement in it as well. It appeared Gaeltacht were kind of in cruise control. They were up 7 points going into the last quarter, but Legion had a big comeback. But look, you look at the Gaeltacht players, no, the big Leoks, no, Rory and Cahill were kicking points for fun, really, no, throughout the game. And I think the experience of Breen Din came into it really when they wanted to, no, the goal towards the end, he was the man to make the burst up the field and let it off to Aina. No, so you have the likes of PJ McLaugh, you have Aidan Welsh, who I think is a massive addition to him this year around the middle of the field. And I think that's where it's going to be very interesting against Fossa. There's going to be a lot of big men around that middle of the field. You know, Matt Rennie, Keane O'Shea, whether Darren Ryan, you know, Owen Talbert around there, centre back as well. You know, and you're going to have the likes of Aidan O'Connor Core, you're going to have the big Leoks, you're going to have Aidan O'Shea around. You know, so there's big bodies around there, there's going to be a lot of breaking ball. But I suppose, look, Gaeltacht probably something similar to Nagel. No one gave them massive chance in this competition, and they have been nicely under the radar a small bit, been picking off teams. No, and that was a big skelp from now the weekend again against Legion, because Legion were kind of tipped ahead of them. No, but they have their biggest challenge ahead now is Fossa and David and Paddy Clifford.
John, sorry, I keep giving you the negative questions, but we're going to go for Clare Legion here. I remember that day that Legion got relegated, they actually lost to Crokes inside in Fitzgerald Stadium. It was December time in the kind of relegation playoff a couple of years ago. Just goes to show that level of that intermediate and kind of clawing away back up, and a team to go down to intermediate, it's such a tough grade, and we see that again and again, just falling on the kind of the second last hurdle against Gaeltacht, and you know, if we put Legion to final against Fossa, you might tip them. So it's, again, we've talked over the last couple of weeks how tight, you know, the senior's been this year, the intermediate's been even closer. You know, Legion will be disappointed, but you have to understand how difficult the intermediate is to actually A, get to a final, and B, then come out of.
Yeah, it's probably the toughest, one of the toughest competitions in the country, not alone the county, to be fair. The standard is so high. The teams coming down find it very hard to get back up. But Legion, you know, the spread of players they have, the likes of Keane Gamble and Dara Lyon, David O'Sullivan, Ryan Grady, you know, Josh Bowler, Owen O'Sullivan, these guys, they'll be there. James O'Leary is there'll be another year or two on him, you know, in the type of a system they're using with him, bring him on once he's fresh from injury. They're minors in the county semi-final. That's a huge boost to them. You know, you'll get a few players out of that. So that's very important. But obviously they'll be disappointed, but, you know, they'd have been more disappointed with 15 minutes to go, I think. You know, to be down. And like Liam said, they showed great character to come back. And they took the game to them, to the Gaeltacht, losing out by 2 points in the end. And this is a Gaeltacht team with huge talent. Like Liam said, led by the big Liz and Aidan Welsh, you know. And I think that... Conor, but Legion are far from gone. A very proud club. A lot of work going on there. The underage is good, and you know, when you have a minor team coming through around the 20s, you'll always get a few from it.
Yeah, a couple of your messages to get to. How Fossa fought back after their lead was cut to one shortly after half time, and all thought the game was over, especially against the Breeze. Goals really do win games. Yeah, it did get tight, Liam, didn't it? I think we mentioned that already, that you know, at one point it was really close, and that introduction of Matt Rennie, as you mentioned, probably the difference there as well. Who do you think will mark the Cliffords in the intermediate final? Who might pick them up for the Gaeltacht? John, I'll give you this one, because I've been giving you difficult questions on now. I feel a bit guilty. Who do you think will mark the Cliffords for Gaeltacht?
Will Breen follow Paddy?
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Or will he go back and David?
Follow him, yeah. And I'll tell you, outside of that, like, outside the, you know, PJ McLaugh and Padraig O'Shea and Breen, but But like Sean O'Quinn inside the cornerback has been outstanding all year for them. I was hugely impressed. I saw him playing in two games now. Really impressed with him. You know, so it's a, I suppose when you're a management team and you're looking, do you double mark? Do you put one on one and do you hope for the best? Because if these guys get space, you know, it's so difficult to mark them. There was one particular instance yesterday, Liam, we spoke about it off air, near the end of the game when Kilcomer were looking for that score. David went back. There was three guys around him. He just made a shimmy. He got the ball and suddenly there was three of the Kilcomer guys taken out of the game and he ran forward and you know, ultimately the final whistle or the buzzer went. But that's the ability they have. So difficult to mark them. It's difficult to mark them at inter-county level, let alone club level.
Yeah. Andrew, before we let you go, I'm conscious you're sitting on the phone. Tell us the winners next week. Who's going to be senior champions and who's going to be intermediate champions? Easy pick.
Yeah, I'll go for the intermediate anyway. You know what? Like, everything. Logic always goes with the Gaeltacht, but I think with the two boys firing and they just seem to be coming on game by game, Paddy had another great game yesterday. I'm going to go for Fossa to win out the intermediate. As for senior, I think it's going to be a two in a row for Dr. Crooks.
There we go. Andrew, thanks a million. I appreciate you taking the call. I know you're get back to the studies now and the books and everything else and college all back this week as well. It's the summer is well and truly over when the colleges go back.
Yeah, that's it. And back to the books now, I swear.
You might keep an eye on the old Sigerson up there in UL for us and give us
no
any
going
tips.
Out now, Andrew.
No. There'll be none of that crack, Liam.
I want you on the Sigerson team for UL, Andrew. Thanks a bit.
Training starts tonight. Lovely
match. Thank you. Fair play. Okay. Thanks, Andrew. Didn't want to sit on the phone all night. So what we'll do is we go for a quick break and we'll be back to chat the Junior Premier course, which is also after reaching the final stage.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Right, lads, our time is quickly ticking away. We always say that the time runs out unless we get too excited about the senior intermediate. Plenty of excitement, though, around the junior premier as well. John, I'll start with you. Sinnins into the final, a good win over Kiel.
Yeah, good win over Kiel. You know, Kiel, under John Evans, a lot of people were fancying them, being honest with you, but Sinnins have... under the radar again this year. You know, they were hugely disappointed last year losing out in penalties, and I think they've got back to the final. They've gone one step further, and they're being led again by Killian Trant in the middle of the field. I think their defence, the Kennellys, Connor and Allen, Bill Keane, Darragh Behan, really tough defenders, mean, not giving away many frees, difficult to breach, and you know, Sean O'Connell will kick the scores when he gets a chance above. You know, a 3-point win, deserved it, and they're a team that they'll fancy their chances in the final themselves. You know, even though it is Ballymac, they will fancy their chances because they have a lot of quality. And as I said, you know, Killian Trant is huge to them. You know, Rory Mahoney, Cathal Kennelly up front, David Foran. You know, they're littered with excellent footballers, and they're there in merit. And you know, it's a really tough competition again, like we said. And to come through the group stages and get into the semi final and now to the final, it's consistency. It's avoiding injuries, you know, that's crucial. And they seem to have an injury-free squad now. So, you know, just got over the line, but deserved it.
Yeah. Kiel will be somewhat disappointed, Liam. I think when the draw was made, probably avoiding Ballymac was the biggest prospect for the semi-final into draw Sinnins. They'll be somewhat disappointed they didn't maybe more of a challenge in that one.
They will, but I suppose you take conditions into consideration.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
They're a light, young team. No, I don't think the Saturday night was a night for footballers, really. Sinnins, big physical team, John. You know, really got stuck into it. I just thought that, you know, that Kiel found it hard to get their footing. You know, they found it hard to get a bit of traction going forward. They had chances where there might be a pass over the top, and that little pass probably went a little bit farther than anybody should. Mm-hmm. You know, but look, they're a young team. Keith Evans and all the Evans. It's not there's guys there where in the future. I do think they're going to be, you know, I suppose they're probably hoping in one way that Ballymac get out of the thing at this stage, because the last couple of years, you know, Ballymac have been so strong in it and seem to fade at the last step. It reminds me of probably Glenbey. Remember Glenbey a few years ago, that they were in the final for years and eventually they got out of
true,
it.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to give credit to Sinans. I saw them that day outside against the wall. No, they're tough. They're teak tough.
Yep.
No, they put Paddy Quill to the middle of the field now the weekend. No, Paddy is a good, you know, not big in stature nor height, but he's a very intelligent footballer. No, along with Killian Trent there on the middle of the field. So they will trouble Ballymac. No, and I think Ballymac had the hex over him with the last few games they've played. They've met in the group stages, I think, John, a couple of times in the last couple of years even. And Ballymac always seemed to come out. But this is a once off game. It's a final. And I said it here a few weeks ago, because when Sinans and Cora played, I saw Sinans and I said, they're going to cause teams trouble going forward. And here we are now, we're in the final.
Yeah, that final obviously against the favourites in Ballymacady, get another cracking game outside in Desmond's on Sunday. John, again, a 2-point win for Ballymac in the end, and like that, they're into the final once again. They'll be looking to go one step further this year.
Yeah, you know, it was. They're favourites to win it, being honest, Ivan, you know, and I suppose you look at the list, right, side of it, Ronan Buckley, 5 2-pointers and 12 points, an incredible display by him. But overall, you know, Jack Joy, Donald Daly, Derek Keane, you know, Michal Reedy, McKivigan in the middle of the field, and Aidan Breen, you know, I think it, particularly in the second half, they set the standard for them. And, you know, they got 2-3 in 10 minutes in the second half. I think the two goals were Aidan Sheehy and Dara Broderick. Okay. And they had a comfortable lead, but Listrai came back into it. And, you know, typical of a team managed and coached by John Evans, never say die. They dug deep. And it's we've said this before, like, the time has come for Ballymac to win that trophy, because, you know, there's nothing easy. You're never handed a trophy, but they have the ability to win it. But they're coming up against a very tenacious Saints Inns side, and a player I left out there was Sean T. Dillon.
That's right.
He's been one of the best man markers in the county for a number of years. They'll be very difficult to breach, that defence, and it could hinge on that at the end of the day.
Yeah, the experience of the Ballymac team in these games was Stanford, Aidan Breen, Tyke Brick, Derek Keane, Donald Daly, all big players for Ballymacadigan. How big is Killian Trent to this Sinans team? Could he play a bigger part for Kerry next year? If Sinans could get Ballymahoney playing, it would make a big difference. And how big of a loss of Vinnie Horn will that be for Ballymac?
Yeah, Vinnie's a big loss. Vinnie was with the last number of years, one of their linchpins up front. But Ballymac have a lot of good footballers. They won Division 1 in the County League minors this year. You know, like I said, Jack Joy, McGivigan, Martin McGivigan, these guys, you know, they all seem to be stepping into the plate. And no more like our Kerry senior team this year, you need maybe a couple of injuries for guys to get a break. And they've taken their chances. Look, Ballymac were up 11 points at one stage in this game. And I think just Listroy kind of cut loose a small bit then and went at it. So Ballymac will have to learn from this, because Sinans are going to be tough. No, and they're not going to give anything away easy. No, so if Ballymac can learn from the last number of years, you know, going into finals, Ballymac, I'd say, if it were a player or a manager or a part of the management team, you would have loved to fast forward it to this moment, because this is the moment they have been waiting for all year. I'd say since they were beaten the final last year, they wanted to get to this point to right the wrongs. But you have to do it inside the white lines. No, and you have to do it for 60 minutes. Because they've been there and thereabouts the last couple of years, but they haven't been doing it for the full 60 minutes. And I think this is their chance now again. Like I said last week, I think they tucked the leg off the accelerator a small bit in the county league, because they were looking at this. And I think they're in a better position where they were last year. I think they've a better squad, they've a younger squad, they've a lot of legs. They're scoring high. That's the only thing. The Sinans defence will have to kind of clamp down on that if they want a chance. But I do think it's there for Ballymac. No, they've been the favourites all year. I think they're playing good football. No, like I said, scoring high. But Sinans aren't going to be an easy pushover.
No, and like that, there's probably an All-Ireland waiting for either of those two teams to come out as well. A very strong grade, of course, heading into Munster as well. Just as quickly on the junior, of course, we had the quarterfinal stages here. Cordell beating Knocklagoshal. It was Tarbert beat Lisbole and Bale, my Bail beat Kilgarvan Rother in my van and need extra time to come over St. Michael's five more. So it's Bail against Cordell and a North Kerry derby, John Tarbert against my van next weekend. Again, pity, I suppose, these games are clashing. You know, credit you that the intermediate and the senior is a double header, but unfortunately our two junior quarterfinals, which are going to be two good battles, are clashing as well.
Yeah, it's a pity. That's they're both on paper they look to be two very good games.
Yeah.
Tabard My Van will be a cracker, because you know, local derby again, and My Van, an up and coming team, a lot of good young fellas, you know, based on the, on a very good underage structure, and they're coming to fruition now, still young. But Tabard, led by Shane Inright, who picked up an injury at the weekend, I think, remains to be seen. Quite a number of Tabard players missing, you know, Killian Langan in particular, one of their marquee forwards, you know. But on the other side of it, Beale going really well, had a big victory down at Kilgarvan, led by Rob Stack. I think he was outstanding in the middle of the park, and another a great sign again of another player that has been mentioned on being on the radar of Jack O'Connor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we like to see, leading by example. And come against Cordell, who had a very good victory in Snaghnagashal in spite of the missing Philip O'Connor.
Yeah,
I think Sean O'Connell, you know, and Young Dinhy were outstanding for them. So it's you know, difficult to call those games again.
I think Rob Stack and Killian Dinhy now will be a lovely contest to watch.
Yeah,
because two very good, big, strong young guys, you know, playing around the middle of the field. Now I think Killian, you know, is a guy that's on everyone's lips. He'll be out Thursday night with the St. Kieran's Minors as well in the county semi-finals, as well as a couple of the Ballymac boys as well. So mm-hmm. at times you would wonder, you know, the way competitions run into each other. These guys are playing minor semi-finals on Thursday night, and they're going out playing semi-finals and finals with their club on at the weekend. Then, you know, so like John said, a lot of interesting battles there. But I like it when John said there, what I like to hear is Tarbert and My Van Young. We have a lot of young players coming through clubs now, and I think, look, the new rules, I suppose, have it probably allows for the older fellas maybe to stay on a bit longer if we have a role for him, but you have to have the legs and you have to have the youth.
Yeah, and a good North Kerry feel. I know it's only the junior, Liam, but like, it's still a great to see three, you know, strong North Kerry teams inside there as well. It's just good for the game out that direction and to see them, you know, coming through, as eventually it is only the junior, but again, at the end of the day, that's progression to see it all coming to fruition as well there.
It does, and I suppose it's good for Jimmy Cain. He can see his players coming forward for the county championship, and I suppose the North Kerry championship isn't too far away either. And these teams, look, they're training hard. There's something to play for, and you know, so it's look, there's a final there after the weekend for whatever the four teams come through.
Can Nigel's size give them a chance against Crokes, Dermot O'Connor, the three Barrys, Stephen Ockenberg, especially from kickouts? Down 4 points against the Breeze with 25 minutes left, and how Rathmore didn't score for 17 minutes after. That's a sign of a good team, John.
Yeah, it is, and it shows how tenacious they were and how defensively minded, that they didn't give away a freeze. They worked extremely hard and they didn't allow Kilcommon get position, or Rathmore get position. And when they did, they didn't they couldn't break the tackle. They didn't foul.
We've kind of touched on it already. Any players standing out during the championship that Jack O'Connor should be keeping an eye on? Maybe ones that haven't been in around the Kerry setup at all, Liam. Is there any?
I suppose a lot of the guys that are kind of touching the setup are kind of in around there. It's what likes of Killian Trent and these guys, Eddie Healy's. You know, I think we'll see the likes of Killian Dinahy and all these fellas, probably the Rob Stacks. You know, they'll all be put in some sort of training programs and stuff like that. But what's really standing out is the guys that have been on the field for Kerry and on the squad. I think they have really stepped up to the plate. We've sat here a couple of years, Ivan, and we were looking for Kerry players in matches. But that's not happening anymore. They stand out a mile, John.
They stand out a mile. All the games we've remarked it, Liam and myself. These are, if you didn't know them, they stand out.
They stand out,
they do.
Just another couple of GA bits as we've got 2 minutes left over. Talk of Congress of a move back to August for an All-Ireland football final welcomed.
Well, I suppose, what is that? I was actually thinking about it. Was it today when I see the signs for the list of all races and stuff like that, that the All-Ireland final really should only be around now? It's unusual. I think it would, if they pushed it out a week, because it'd give you more time for the hurling, number one. I think the hurling would go to the football final date then, and the football would yeah. be pushed out. So it gives a bit of time, you know, in the middle, I suppose, for number one, the media crowd, they can make more out of it. But also, I suppose, the county boards might be pushing for it as well, because it gives them that little bit time, a bit more time that they can maybe push their fundraising and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd like a week gap between the hurling and football as well. John Kennedy, there's a couple of more rules very, very quickly. They're on about the hooter change as well, that basically is it if the ball has to be in flight when the hooter goes for the... Basically, we've seen this year the teams waiting for the clock, then they'll go for their play and then they'll all run in. Might be a welcome enough change, to be fair. I know the new rules have added a lot, but that hooter that kind of playing the ball might change. So I think the ball has to be in. If you kick it and the hooter goes, it's in flight, the score still count. But other than that, the game stops.
Yeah, I think it would be no harm, Ivan, in fairness. And we saw it at the weekend when the hooter went, you know, the ball was kicked into touch and game over. I think it would be no harm. But we have to say the new rules, and we've said it before, for these championships in Kerry, they're refreshing.
Yeah,
the standard, you know, the movement. But again, there is a downside to it. The levels of fitness required and the intensity is just incredible. And it's a tribute to all the teams for the amount of work they've put in for this championship, because the standard of fitness and the level of fitness is mad.
I think that rule for the halfway line, that would be a nice rule to bring in. You know, that they're on about that if you pass over the line, you can pass it back.
Yeah,
I think that would enhance the game that little bit more as well.
Yeah,
you know, we've taken the goalkeeper out of play, which has been great. You know, because that was a kind of a small bit of a pain. All right, but I think it just gives you more of an attacking game, and I think that's absolutely what we got this year. We got an attacking game, and I think everyone was talking about it. So I think the likes of that will enhance it.
Absolutely, we'll head for news at 7.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
There you go. What do I know? I went out golfing at 7:30 this morning and I got absolutely lashed on for the first two holes. But it was a lovely morning in Clarny after that. But again, believe what you want from the weather forecast. It is Terrace Talk from now until 8 o'clock, second hour of the programme. And it's Ivan Hurley keeping you company between now and then. As ever, feel free to get in touch with the programme, whatever your sporting thoughts are after the weekend. It's 083 300 300. You can text or WhatsApp us on that, or you can give the studio a call 066 7123 666. As we mentioned, we've been chatting men's football and the Kerry Petroleum County or the Club Football Championships, broader of course the Garvey Supervalue County Senior Football Championship coming up as well. So it's just so much club action and district action to enjoy over the next couple of weeks. And again, maybe the joys of the split season is that we can talk about this club game for right through August and September, and obviously into October then as well. And we'll be heading for Munster and All Ireland as well. But of course, at the moment, also going on in the county is the Bonsecure Ladies County Championships, well underway at this stage. Group stages starting to come to a close as well. Delighted as ever to be joined by our kind of resident ladies football correspondent. That is of course Dan Carney. Dan, you're welcome along to the programme. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Ivan. How are you?
I'm good. Another hectic weekend for ladies football in the county, which is great to see. We'll start with the senior, and it was seen to be a rip-roaring contest between Nigel and Crokes the weekend.
Absolutely, a huge game between these two teams, like, and two teams that are going all out this year for the championship, like, and Nigel were very much in control. Marie Quick there, I think she scored 1-3 in the first half, and the points from Jane Lucy, Megan Sheehy, and they had a 1-8 3-point lead at half time, but just a series of goals in the second half from Crokes brought them right back into it. Megan O'Connor did fire a goal and a point for Nigel, but their scoring dried up after 39 minutes. I think they were 2-12 to 3 points ahead, believe it or not. And that was the end of it. And brace of goals from Tress O'Sullivan, another one from Liam McMahon. And Emma Flynn was also forced into fine save from McMahon. Of course, McMahon, one of the up-and-coming stars of ladies football. She was a fine minor last year. And Amanda Brosnan and Siobhan Burns are two more experienced campaigners. They shot a couple of points towards the end for Crokes, but it was, you know, Nigel had done enough to win it by 2-12 to 3-5. But a right good game, and a good sign for the Crokes that they came back into it there.
Yeah, most definitely. And a big win then for Southern Gales in the other game in Group 1.
Yeah, Southern Gaels are starting to motor nicely now. You know, they really are. They're coming, like they're going to have a home quarter final against against Scarta Glen next weekend, and they're starting to motor. I think Shea for Shea got 1-3 there, and Rachel Dwyer got 6 points. So you know they're going to be thereabouts come quarter final time. You know, Scarta Glen will surely put it up to them, but you would imagine that Southern Gaels on their home patch are going to be very, very difficult to beat there.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good win then for Fionnuala St. Sennans and the other group over Scarta Glen, who's a Sabre maybe looking ahead to the quarter final as well.
Yeah, the Scarta, I suppose, look, in fairness, the Scarta were last year's intermediate champions. They're down a few players since through, I suppose, injury and and immigration and every kind of a thing. So it is tough for, going enough for them, like, you know. But look, they got a goal from Sean Attangley in the first half, but Miriam O'Keefe replied straight away. Miriam was very, very good for Fionnuala St. Sennans, in fairness, and I think she finished up with 1-7 on the day. And Scarta kept plugging away in the second half, but look, Fionnuala St. Sennans had too much experience, the likes of Niamh Carmody there, and of course Miriam O'Keefe, who's their ace attacker, like. But in the finish, it was a handy enough win really for Fionnuala St. Sennans. They won by 2-10 to 1-4, so they'll be looking forward to a home quarter final now as well.
Yeah, definitely. Do we have the quarterfinal full lineup, Dan, or is there a few more games to go yet?
Yeah, no, they're ready for action now, Ivan. So you have the two top teams in the group. They go straight into a semi-final. That's Desmond's in their group and the Gael in their group. So you have two quarterfinals then. So you'll have Fionnuala St. Sennans. They finished second in Group 2, so they'll take on the third place team in Group 1, which is Dr. Crokes. And the winners of that quarterfinal then will be playing the Gael in the semi-final. And then on the other side of it, Southern Gaels and Scarta Glen, like I mentioned earlier, Scarta have to travel down to Southern Gaels, and Desmond's will play the winners of that one in the semi-final. So it's all coming together nicely.
All coming together nicely, as is, of course, the intermediate and the junior. Probably the standout game in the intermediate the weekend was the game between Abidorny and Beaufort, and quite a high-scoring game as well, Dan, which is great to see.
Yeah, fantastic game of football by the sounds of it. You know, it was Abidorny 5-12 to Beaufort's 3-10. And look, Abidorny won the Junior A last year, and they're after three wins now in the Intermediate Championship. So they're going nicely. They're after acclimatising quite well. Like, they led by 1-6 to 6 points at half time, and their goal came from Melanie Higgins, who had an outstanding game for Abidorny, and she got 3 points from frees there in that first half as well. And in the second half then, Beaufort had 5 frees, 3 from Sarah Hoolan and 2 from Gráinne Kennedy, and their point from play came from Sarah Hoolan, of course, the former great Kerry player, still, you know, playing her stuff there with Beaufort. But that was in the first half. But then in the second half, Abidorny had a great start, an early goal and a point from Laura Felvey, and again Higgins was on fire there. Melanie Higgins, she got 1-2. But in fairness to Beaufort, they came back again in a goal and a quick free from Gráinne Kennedy, and they also, Beaufort got another goal from Adele O'Brien and Laurie O'Connor. They got one each, so it was a grandstand finish, you could say. Laurie there, she was unlucky with another goal chance. Yeah, she gave a great shot, but it came off the upright. But the gap was down to 5 points at that stage. But Abidorny had a late goal from Aisling Felvey to finish it off, you know. So a rip-roaring contest there, you could say. But like I said earlier, Abidorny, they topped the group there, and they go straight to the semi-final. And they'll take on the winners of the quarter-final next weekend, which will feature Clown Mac and My Van and Cork Green. And Clown Mac and My Van are at home there. So that gives them that advantage in that quarter-final.
Yeah, and another big name, of course, in the intermediate is MKL Gaels, Dan, and they had a big win the weekend as well.
Yeah, they had a big win over Austin Stacks, 5-15 to 2-4. And look, MKL Gaels, they would be one of the favourites for the Intermediate Championship this year. They lost the final last year to Scarta Glen, but, you know, they have a nice team. Like, they have Kieran Murphy there, the former Kerry player, of course. Queeve Evans, she chipped in with 2 points in that game. You have the likes of Niamh Broderick there as well, and a number of other good players, like Tierna Murphy there. Like, she scored 1-3 last year, really up and coming player, and Sarah Heisman. So they have a very, very good all-round team. They go straight to the semi-final there after three wins in their group, and they'll play the winners of Beaufort and Fieries in that in their semi-final. So MKL Gales, you know, they are hot favourites, along with Clonmac and Myvan. You'd have to say those two teams would be the favourites for the Intermediate Championship.
Yeah, it's great to have an Intermediate. I suppose we often talk about the Men's Intermediate Championship in the county, Dan, and you're well aware from, you know, covering games, it's probably one of the most competitive in the country. But great to see the Intermediate in the ladies is as competitive here in Kerry.
Yeah, very, very much so. Very much so, because I'll tell you why the standards have risen. They really have, and intermediate clubs, and we were with Desmond's, we were intermediate quite a short time ago, like, you know, and it was, we found it pretty tough to get out of intermediate. Eventually, we did in 2020-21, but it is tough. Like, I mean, you have the likes of Clonmac and Myvan there. Very, very well organised side. You know, good coaching there. The same with MKL. They've been knocking on the door. They've been unlucky. Abby Dorney just up from junior, and they've fitted in straight away. So you've three very, very good teams there. Fieries not too far off it either. Like, so it's pretty competitive in intermediate. It's fantastic to see it. Like I say, it's similar to the men's. Like, it is great to have that kind of a high standard.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just quickly, I suppose, Dan, onto the junior. Obviously, you have your junior A, junior B, and junior C, so plenty of games going on across the county over the weekend.
Yeah, not a lot of games. You know, in fairness, the amount of girls that are playing football in Kerry is absolutely phenomenal. It really is, like, you know, and Cremann were going really, really well in junior A. Again, one of the favourites to go up. They won the junior B last year. Very good setup there, and Marie O'Donoghue and PJ Reedy and others involved there. And, you know, they're looking good, really and truly. Like, so they had a good win over Cremann, over Fossa, 112-2-4. Quite enough game there, must be said. Cora Joy was quite good for Cremann in that game, but they have a good all-round team. Emer Burke there as well. Eric McGlynn on the other side then for Fossa was very good. She was very effective. But they're looking good, Cremann. They topped Group 1. They had three wins as well, and they'll play the winners of Spa and ISG. Whoever comes out of that quarter-final, they'll play the winners of that in the semi-final. And, of course, in Group 2, then Ballymac, who didn't play this weekend, they topped that group with two wins from two, and they'll play the winners of Fossa and Low Rangers, who meet in the other quarter-final. So, again, the two hot favourites for this group, really and truly, for the Junior A are Cremann and Ballymac. So I'd be very surprised if they don't make the final, those two teams.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it's been a busy couple of weeks. We look forward to kind of straight knockout football now, Dan, as well. I'm sure plenty for Mark Burke to be looking at as well over these championship games, and they are all as competitive as you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's championship where you see, like the lads were alluding to earlier, and they were talking about, you know, did Jack see any players out there, do you know? And it's often the players that are on the fringes of the panel, like they were saying. But there are, like, Kerry have had a lot of success in the last number of years at underage level, and I'm sure Mark is looking at them, and what can he bring a few of them into the squad for next year, or even older players maybe that might have missed out, or for various reasons, maybe for college reasons, work reasons, you know, they might be coming into the 23-24 age bracket now, and they might be well worth to go at this stage, bring them in, you know. So there's definitely a lot of talent out there, and I do know that Mark and his selectors, that they are going to an awful lot of these games. I've seen them at a couple of them. And, you know, look, he'll make up his own mind, and I'm sure he'll, in a couple of months' time, he'll be bringing a few more new people in.
We're kind of saying to lads, we wish the weather was a small bit better at the end of the summer into September. Unfortunately, it hasn't. But again, this kind of time of year is often a great time for these games, and the kind of allowing for good football on, you know, relatively dry pitches is always important for both the men and the ladies, of course, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Look, we all know what a factor the wind is at this stage, and the beauty of the men's game is that you have the two pointer with the wind. You know, I was at the Listry Ballymac game, and you know, the two pointers there from Ronan Buckley were outstanding. You know, and you don't have that in the ladies, so it's a bit more difficult. Like, but no, definitely, of course, better weather makes for a better game. There's no doubt about that. Like, but you'd be hoping we'd get a bit of fine weather now again. Ivan, you know, because there is a lot of good football to be played. I feel that this is really where it comes into its own. The group games, there wasn't a whole lot of jeopardy in some of the divisions, like, you know, in some of the groups, because you were getting an away quarter final, even if you were in a group of three, you know, even if you finished third in the table. So this is really where it comes to the crunch. This is where the teams, you know, they'll be hoping to put out their best performances and go that step further. And, you know, it's do or die when you get to quarter final stage, really. Like, you know, you either perform on the day or you pack your bags and you go home. So it's going to be a good weekend for ladies football.
You mentioned the new rules there, Dan, and I often think would you like to see it introduced in the ladies game as well in some shape or form? Obviously not maybe identical to the men's, maybe a closer arc, but would you like to see maybe the 2 points coming in? And we're used to the hooter system from the ladies game, which was great, and obviously we've seen what was added to the men's game, but even the 2 point rule, would you like to see it come into the ladies game?
I actually would. I think it would benefit it. I saw there was one of the Kerry games. There's, I can't remember who was, and I remember Kerry got 3 2-pointers in men's old money, as we'll say, in that game, like from outside the arc. You know, Niamh Carmody got a couple anyway, because Niamh is a superb kicker of the ball. I'd love to see the solo on go. I'd love to see the solo on go, and I'd also love to see the 3-up. Rule, because I think there are a lot of teams out there that are in ladies football and was really crept in the last couple of years at county level in particular, that are playing, you know, 12-13 behind the ball and breaking the pace kind of a thing. I'd love to see the solo and go in particular, and the 3-up rule. I think it would benefit ladies football. I mean, the men's football have taken from ladies, like with the hooter and all that kind of stuff, like in the sin bin. You know, why can't the ladies turn around and do the same? I think it'd be well worth it.
Yeah, I suppose there's all this talk about the amalgamation between the Camogie Association, the LGFA and the GAA, and maybe if they're all singing off the same hymn sheet in Croke Park, that maybe they might be able to look at it and see what they can do, and maybe, you know, kind of introduce kind of the same rules across all the various different sports. But maybe that's a chat for another evening, Dan. I suppose just before I let you go, just maybe a couple of predictions for you, just from the senior, who we might see in the semi-finals this time next week.
The senior, I would be thinking we're going to have Desmond's against Southern Gales. I think Scarsglen have a tough task going down to South Kerry to play a very, very strong Southern Gales team. And you just don't know a knockout footballer, but I really can't see it happening. I think Southern Gales are going to come through there, and that'll be a cracking semi-final between Desmond and Southern Gales. I mean, they met in the final last year. Southern Gales will feel that they need to get one back on Desmond's, I suppose, after Desmond's overturning them. The other semi-finals, I would think that... It's very hard to call the Fionnuala St. Cillans and Dr. Crokes game. I really think it is. I would think Fionnuala St. Cillans at home. I think they just might get over the line against Dr. Crokes. I wouldn't be putting any money in it now. Dr. Crokes, you know, they've the kind of forwards that can get goals. But I would have to say, I would think it's going to be Fionnuala St. Cillans against Na Gael in the semi-final. And that'll be a cracker as well. We could be in for, if my predictions are right, I think we could be in for two cracking semi-finals in a week's time.
Yeah, look, knockout football, Dan, you can't beat it, matter men's, women's, underage, whatever it is, when it comes to knockout championship, it's brilliant. And again, a good time of year to be playing as well. Dan, thanks a million. As always, we'll definitely check in maybe around those quarterfinals and semi-finals again to see how the Bond Secures Ladies Football Championship is continuing in the county. But for now, thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thanks a million, Ivan. Absolutely. And cheers again.
A pleasure. Great to be able to chat in depth about the ladies game as much as the men's game here in Terrace Talk as ever. And it's looking so important, the county championship, and as Dan said, for bloody in those players ahead of a positive, hopefully positive Kerry ladies campaign next year, where we might go all the way, and the Brendan Martin might make his way back to the Kingdom, of course, as well. You're listening to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan with you until 8 o'clock this evening. 083 300 3300. We'll be chatting to the man who had his hand raised in the ring in the Three Arena on Friday night. We're coming back. We'll be back after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Now, Milltown boxer Kevin Cronin produced what was a powerful performance at the Three Arena in Dublin on Friday night to beat British boxer Grant Dennis. Delighted to have Kevin in studio. Kevin, first of all, congratulations. I don't know whether to call you the Kingdom Warrior or Kevin Cronin, but either way, people will know who we're chatting to. Look, massive congratulations. No easy feat, go up to the Three Arena and be pounded inside the ring for six rounds and come out with the victory is always special.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a class occasion. It was great to be a part of it, and it's great to come out of it successful, obviously. But very happy with the performance. Everything went to plan.
Yeah.
I didn't really even need to come out first gear, to be honest with you, but
that's great.
Flew through it.
I suppose, just on the card first, I suppose, just to kind of give the people, you know, maybe who heard about the fight the weekend weren't too sure. So it was the undercard for Mick Conlon's kind of big fight in Dublin. It was sold out, Three Arena. You were late enough in the card as well, which is great, before Mick came out and won his bout. Of course, he's your manager as well. So the whole occasion was special as it was. I'm sure you're locked away in a dressing room not thinking about it, but for supporters and those of us maybe watching the telly and stuff, we get that sense of excitement, and I suppose maybe it's time to kind of reflect and look back and see kind of what a big occasion it actually was you fought in.
Yeah, it was a huge occasion. When we were backstage, it's pretty much soundproof though, back where the dressing rooms are, so we couldn't hear a thing back there, thank God. But even when you were making the walk, it's just once you cross the corridor and you can hear the noise from the arena, it gets pretty nerve wracking there for a couple of minutes until you get out into that ring.
I can imagine. I suppose we've all been to, the majority of us have been up to the Three Arena to maybe a concert or whatever. And when it's sold out up there, it's sold out. Like, the place is jammers, and obviously the occasion then of Mick Conlon coming back out adds to obviously the whole thing, and the car kind of built around him. So great to be obviously part of that occasion for yourself and in your career. And I know you've been fighting up there before, but this one just seemed to be, you know, there seemed to be a lot of media attention maybe around Mick Conlon, whatever it was, just seemed to be talked about kind of all week, and to have a carryman then the undercard gave us a great sense of pride down here as well.
Yeah, well, the first time I fought there, I was fighting in front of the sold out crowd, because it was just before they come in. This time, no, it was early enough on the card, so it was still kind of filling up. But look, I've fought in front of a few sold out crowds at the moment now, so I didn't need, well, it would have been nice if I was there when it was full, or if it was full when I was fighting last night, but
yeah,
I didn't need that. I knew I could perform in that. But it was nice to just even be back there and to go in there with that bit of experience now of being there before and being in front of big crowds and big occasions, that I was able to just relax and settle before I even got into the ring and actually take it all in this time.
Yeah.
First time it was all a bit of a blur walking out, you know, it goes by so fast. And this time I took my time and made the walk out slow and took it all in.
Yeah, and that's great to hear as well, because at the end of the day, it's kind of part of, I suppose, the sport. And when we're all watching these big fights, it's all about kind of the walk out, the music, the getting into the ring, getting ready and everything else. So great to hear that this kind of isn't just a blur for you, that you're able to have the, you're able to have the kind of the full experience of it. Talk to me some more about Grant Dennis. He gave you a good enough challenge. You won 59-55 in the end of the points. So a decent win in the end, but he gave you a tough couple of rounds.
Yeah. Look, we knew Grant was going to be tough going in there. John Farmer, whatever, a Southern area Farmer English champion. John, he's good. He's tough. He's going to try rough you up in there. His style was perfect for me. Look, I'm a very high paced fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was expecting. Look, we've changed a lot over the last couple of months. He was expecting me to just come at him, and thinks that's what a lot of people expected, but. Me and my team know I'm a lot smarter than that. I've just done that last couple of fights, so we boxed a bit more. We still use the pressure. I'm a pressure fighter. Like, that's what I do. So we still use that pressure, but we actually boxed with the pressure and really put him off. I was talking to him afterwards as well. He said he was expecting me to
to be just coming in on top of him. He had a game plan set up for me coming at him, for him to step back and try try countering and things like that. But he just said he couldn't. He said the pressure was too much, the pace was too high, and he was trying to hide that he was hurt and stuff in there a couple of times. So he was a good guy. We had a good chat with him afterwards. There was a lot of positives to be taken out of it. Obviously, look, there was bits as well that we worked on that we didn't bring into play, but that happens with every fight. You're not going to get everything 100%, but I was very happy with how it went, even watching it back. You know, everything was sharp, everything was fast. The jab, which people like to say I don't have, I landed more jabs the last night than I'd say any other fighter on the card, you know, so I think I put that bit of a rumour to bed anyway. But yeah, look, he was tough, he was good, he was looking for them big shots as well, but just wasn't there for them.
Yeah, a massive Kerry support following you. You see the green and gold flags flying. Obviously, your sponsors in Clarny as well heading up the road. It's obviously great to get that kind of bit of, I suppose, local support. And obviously, the last time we were chatting to you, you were fighting over in New York, and maybe a small bit harder to get him over. You mentioned there was a lot of green and gold there, but I'm sure the three arena was a sea of it for when you were in the ring as well.
Yeah, surprisingly, New York, I've never in my life had a bigger crowd go to any of my fights as they did in New York. The furthest away point, it was crazy. But obviously, look, I switched off in New York and ended up losing that fight in points. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wasn't myself in the second half of that fight. And I went to the kind of the last night against Grant. I wanted to prove that I'm far better than that, and I did without having to come out of first gear, as I said.
Yeah.
But I did have that fear as well that coming off of a fight like that, there might be a big downfall with tickets and with people coming to the fight and all that, but that wasn't the case at all. You know, there was still a good crowd went up the road, and look, they enjoyed it. I put in a performance. They'll be back and with a lot more for the next one.
Yeah, no, and that's great to hear as well, that you kind of have that kind of support base behind you to travel. I also want to talk to you just about your walkout music. It's a Tralee Singer, I believe, is this, that has your walkout track. Is it Tanya O has done it? Is there a bit of a Kerry feel to the music as well?
Yeah. We actually didn't have that one the last day. There was a bit of you see, when the song's kind of made for you, you have to kind of get it off to the DJs and stuff, and things didn't go to plan the last day, so we ended up with a different ring walk song. But yeah, Tanya put together a song, and fair play to her.
That's a good Kerry feel to the whole thing as well, isn't it? Like, you obviously go by the Kingdom Warrior, and you've obviously fierce Kerry roots with the green and gold flags flying as well, so it's nice that you kind of use the power of Kerry behind you as well.
Yeah, look, it's kind of, there's more to when someone hears a ring walk song. It's not just about, I don't know, the music pounding and getting out and getting the crowd going. There's a lot more to a ring walk than that. I kind of go start with maybe a slower song because it just has you more relaxed going in there. It sets you up for the fight, really. You know, if someone comes out with a very high pace song, you know, they could be jittery, they could be jumping around the ring, you know, they could be using a lot of energy. That's why I kind of go with the slow songs, you know, and I take my ease coming out, like, keep the nerves down, keep everything calm, and didn't just perform after that.
Yeah, absolutely. A big one coming up. It's the Irish title fight. It's a fairly quick turnaround for you, Kev. How do you kind of find that kind of the quicker turnaround to what we're used to seeing you up on social media talk about your camps, and your camp is coming up, or you're in there for a couple of weeks or whatever, maybe a couple of months. This one seems to kind of, you're coming out of this and you're almost straight kind of back into it again. Quick turnaround, but a big one to come up for you.
Yeah, quick turnaround. But look, we've been in camp 16 weeks, 12 weeks, locked in with the Dublin side of camp. So it's another 5 weeks on top of that. It's a long, long camp. This was a stop on the way to this fight. So this is all a part of the, it was all a part of the camp. But I had to put this next fight out of my head before that. And it was hard enough now, to be honest with you. It was always in the back of my mind going into this fight. So there was a lot of pressure on this one. Mm-hmm. One, I had to win for this fight too. I probably had to win for my career, even if people didn't agree with the decisions I've got in the past.
Yeah.
The decision is the decision at the end of the day. So for me, I had to win. So there was a lot of pressure there, to be honest with you. And We don't very well to hide that in fight week, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going to bring you up next. I saw you had that up on social media. You know, that you were under that pressure and you tried to hide it. Is that kind of a personal pressure, or is it a pressure coming from the management and the coaches saying, Kevin, this dream could be over if you don't win here, like on Friday night or whatever? Or is it more yourself in a mental thing saying, I need to win here? Or is there other people say that in your ear as well within your camp? Like,
no one said that to me. Within my camp, Brenton, they knew that it put severe pressure on me. But look, deep down, I knew if I slipped up the last day, everything caved in around me, you know.
Yeah.
And that was, it would have been, I don't know, it would have been career ruining for me if I slipped up the last day. It was make or break, you know. And
yeah,
thankfully it was make. And we just got to keep making now, that's it.
No, 100%. And obviously this big one is the Kerry kind of Cork derby about a Cathal Crowley. Do we know a huge amount about him going into this one? Obviously, I want to talk more about yourself, but obviously it's a big fight for you, and maybe kind of seeing what sort of an opponent you'd be expecting to face in the National Stadium.
Yeah, look, Cathal's good. He loves the sound of his own voice. there's no one will tell you how great Cathal is, only Cathal. So that's about it. Look, I don't really care who's put in front of me. He does talk a lot. He wants that type of build up to the fight. He wants a war of words. I don't care. I've been there. I've done this. I'm going back there to do it again. You know, I just it's the belt at the end of the day to me. Not who it is. It didn't matter who they were offering to me. I was taking it once the belt was on the line. You know, it could have been any one of them. I think this only actually came about because Emmett Brennan, who beat me in New York, was to go on and fight for the Irish title next. That was kind of the winner done that.
Yeah.
As far as I know, now I don't know the whole truths behind it or anything, but he's apparently turned this fight down a couple of times, and that's how the door opened for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, he was the one in line. He wouldn't fight who's next in line. That was me, but I had to win first because I had a fight coming up. So yeah, look, I done my part of the deal. The fight's there now. Cathal can keep talking. I'm going to be there in 5 weeks, you know.
Yeah. How much would an Irish title mean to you, Kevin, in your career as a kind of professional? Is this, obviously there's certain levels to the sport you always want to get to, whatever, but, you know, claiming an Irish title in a belt like that might be massive for you, would it?
Yeah, it's massive. Look, it's nowhere near my end goal. You know, I've been knocking on this door for a while. I've obviously fought for the Irish title before against Jamie Morrissey and ended up being a draw.
Yeah.
So that was meant to be my breakthrough night. I was meant to go on in and fight for, you know, move on into the European level side of things, world level side of things, and it didn't happen. But it is what it is, you know. I'm in a whole different fighter now. I'm in different weight class. Everything's different. as I say, Cathal's been just calling for this and calling for this, and you know, you don't have to call me too many times. You know?
I'll go, says, yeah.
So just keep barking and we'll see if you can bite. That's the way I kind of do it, you know. So he's been barking. So let's see what he has to bring.
It's an interesting approach as well, that you don't get kind of drawn into that sort of talk to talk. You want to literally walk the walk and go out and show this guy what you're made of, despite, you know, what he's saying between press and everything. It is all kind of part of the sport, though, isn't it? And we've probably seen it maybe more in recent years, and kind of maybe the UFC sort of a thing of this kind of all this media kind of ahead of it. But you just want to get your head down, back into camp, and land up to National Stadium and come home with a belt.
Yeah, that's me. Look, I've fought nearly every one of the fellas in Ireland this division.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cathal, the guy I'm fighting, hasn't fought one of them. Do you know, it's like we're different. Like I said, just keep talking, because I've done it. I've been there. I was meant to fight for this belt. Was it 2 years ago? And it's Craig McCarthy against Craig McCarthy, and I wasted a lot of time. That one ended up being he was bringing it into a war words too, and I got involved as well with that. And there was a lot of time wasted in that fight. Ended up falling through on fight week, and we tried remaking it, and it never ended up happening. So that cost me months out of my career as well. So that's why I really could not care less about getting involved in this stuff.
Yeah.
He can keep selling the fight whatever way he wants. If people know what they're going to get from me, they're going to get their money's worth. You know, it's a Kevin Cronin fight night is always a fight, like, you know. So that's what you get from me. I don't have to sell it to anyone. I'm going up there for a belt. I'm going to collect my belt, and that's it. Cathal's not been there. Look, 2-3 rounds into this fight, when the going gets tough and when he's sitting on the ropes taking a couple of bombs, you know, that's when his face will change, and that's when he's going to realise it's real.
Yeah.
So look, as I said, I've been there. I've done that. He hasn't. You know, 5 weeks he will be.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Kev, just to kind of roll, you know, Michael Collins' head on you, you've spoken very highly of him. Obviously, you were delighted to see him get the win as well, like we all were on Friday evening. You know, how much of an influence has he been over you in the last, you know, couple of months? And, you know, obviously, fighting in on his undercard was huge for you, and that in itself is proof that the link-up is working. But are you impressed with him so far?
Yeah, yeah. Look, Mike's a legend. And to me, looking up to him as a fighter as well, you know, he inspires me to keep going. That man gets so much backlash online.
Yeah, I'm telling
you, if you met that person, or that if you met Mick in person, he's one of the nicest people you could ever meet, and he'd take the shirt off his back for you, you know. And what he's done for my career, the ups, the downs, you know, you have a bad fight, things don't go your way, you know, your phone goes very silent after that. When you win a fight, your phone is hopping.
Yeah.
My phone is still hopping after the last night.
Yeah.
After New York, my phone didn't beep for weeks. Do you know, that's the way it is. But when it was beeping, it was Mick hitting me up. Do you know, it was Mick checking in, Mick making sure I was getting back in the gym, Mick making sure I was, you know, enjoying my bit of downtime as well. Do you know, he's the type of fella that's always going to be there for you, ups or downs. So, yeah, a fella that gets backlash that doesn't deserve backlash. But look, yeah. That's the world we live in these days. But yeah, look, yeah. No, he's a legend. He's put into my career. He's catapulted me to the next level. And look, I'm sure if he didn't believe in me, my contract would have been up after New York. But instead of even if there was he couldn't put me out of a contract, he would have put me back into a small hall show or just put me back into the system, you know. That's the way it is. But he didn't. He brought me straight back out onto a big stage, into a massive stage the last night, and didn't just put any fighter in front of me, but Quintinus, who's a tough, tough fighter. Like, you know, he knew that was going to be a tough fight, so he obviously believed I could do that as well, and I did on the night. So yeah, Mick's a legend. That's the long and short of it.
I think we all saw the true side of Mick when he had the famous few words after the Olympics, when the judging was a bit off, and he wasn't too happy about it. But yeah, a guy who, as you said, but seems to just wear his heart on his sleeve as well. Kevin, look, the very best of luck in a couple of weeks. We won't interrupt your camp much more. Well done on that win. I know how much it meant to you on Friday night, and fingers crossed we might, the next time we're chatting to you, there might be a lovely shiny belt up on the desk here as well.
Oh, there will be. Not leaving that after me this time.
Brilliant stuff. Kevin Crohn there, of course, the Kingdom Warrior, after a big win in the Three Arena. We'll be chatting Kerry FC after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Now, a big week in the Kingdom this week for all you soccer supporters, in that Kerry FC are in their first ever quarterfinal of the Sports Direct Men's FAI Cup. Sligo Rovers from the Premier Division are the visitors to Mount Hawk Park on Friday night, a sold out Mount Hawk Park with a 7:45 start. Our resident Kerry FC man on Terrace Talk is, of course, Dermot Kearney. Dermot, full of excitement for Friday night, I'd imagine.
Yeah, Ivan, as you said there, look, it is a first ever FAI Cup quarterfinal tie for Kerry FC. It's probably the biggest fixture in the history of the club over the last few years. Another Premier Division team making their way down to Tralee, Friday night lights in Mount Hawk Park, and a sold out crowd will definitely make it a hostile atmosphere for any visiting team coming down. So definitely an enjoyable one for sure.
Yeah, tickets at a premium, which is great for the club and everything else. Say you could have sold out a couple of times by the sounds of it. Sligo bringing a decent crowd as well. It has the makings of a decent game. I suppose we haven't really checked in on progress over the last couple of weeks, Dermot, but two very good results against first and second place in the league. Have Kerry kind of come into this one off the back of some good form?
They have. I suppose, look, the 1-0 defeat at home to Finn Harps on the start of the month was a bit disappointing. I suppose, look, we had the very strong win against Athlone and then the draw with Treaty, and you thought, look, maybe we could see another couple of wins under the belt, and maybe disappointed with how the Finn Harps game went. But a very, very strong performance. And that third round win in the cup over Cove has kick-started a four-game unbeaten streak, you know, beating Longford at home. And then obviously, as you mentioned there, you know, drawing away to Dundalk 2 weeks ago, and then obviously the Cove game on Friday night. Two teams that maybe people wouldn't have thought Kerry would get a result against, looking at where they are in the league table. So that'll bode confidence very well that, look, Kerry can hopefully put up a very strong performance against the Sligo team. And I know Sligo are sitting ninth in the Premier Division table at the moment, but they themselves are in very good form at the moment. You know, they had an in-all draw against Bowes in their last game at the end of August, of course, with the international break. They'll be that little bit fresher now coming into Friday's game. And, you know, they've beaten Waterford as well, of course, beat Bowes to get into this stage of the FAI Cup. And, you know, recent results, they've beaten the likes of Galway, Derry, Cork City, and they've held Shamrock Rovers to a draw as well. And, of course, beat Dundalk in the opening and their first game in the FAI Cup. So it all is shaping up to be a very competitive game between these two teams.
Yeah, I suppose we're talking in different terms about Kerry FC's chances, which is, you know, positive, obviously, with the introduction of Colin Healy this year. But, you know, when you look back, obviously, year one, there was a very narrow defeat to Drogheda in the Cup. Then last year, you had that penalty shootout against Bohemians in the third round of the Cup. Kerry have gotten to the quarterfinals for the first time. And now that kind of Premier Division team coming down, there's, I wouldn't say an air of confidence, but there's a lot of people thinking that Kerry might actually get this job done and head on to a semi-final.
Yeah, I suppose, look, Kerry have really, really come on leaps and bounds in the last couple of seasons. Look, it could have been a kick of the ball, and we could be talking about this being back-to-back appearances for Kerry FC in a quarter-final, with the way that the Bohemians game there that you mentioned last year, that was such a fantastic performance. Not a lot of people expected Kerry to put in a performance like that and put a team like Bohemians to the sword, so... You know, look, it's a home game for Kerry. It's just another, I suppose, look, it's just another game really for the players and those involved. Obviously, it's a sold-out crowd. We have had sold-out crowds in Mount Hawk Park before. We've had FAI Cup games as well. And look, it'll be very, very closely fought. Sligo will come down. They obviously haven't played in Mount Hawk Park before. Kerry's a new team for them, as Sligo being for Kerry as well in that respect. But I definitely think that, you know, Sligo will be doing their homework on Kerry. I know John Russell was down in Mount Hawk Park on Friday night for that Cove game just to see Kerry in action. So, look, they're taking it very seriously. And I suppose at this stage of a competition, like any, you can't really, you know, think you're going to get over the line against a team if they are a First Division and you are a Premier Division club. So I think Sligo definitely will be coming down with that side of caution that Kerry will be looking to book their ticket for the semi-finals.
I've been chatting to a few supporters over the last week or so, or even the last 2 weeks really, since Kerry booked their place in it. And a lot of people are saying, you know, the dream of Europe is still on, or the dream of going to the Aviva Stadium is on. But in realistic terms, right, Kerry, you know, as of now, are 90 minutes away from national television coverage for a semi-final. And even that in itself, for, you know, a club that, you know, we've been following their progress over the last 2.5 years, even that in itself, you could just manage to even scrape through by a whisker in this game, no matter what it takes. All of a sudden, you're going to be on national TV for a semi-final in a couple of weeks' time. That would be huge.
Oh, absolutely. It would be massive, massive for the club. And I suppose, look, anything can happen in these cup games. You look at that Cove game, you know, the red card early on and everything that went on with that, and, you know, getting that early lead and then building on it and then getting that second goal just after the hour mark. You know, like, those little things as well could happen on Friday. Look, if Kerry were to get a goal, I don't think anyone would begrudge them playing 10 men behind the ball and for however many minutes are left on the clock that on the night. But look, it will be a very close game, and look, it would be amazing for them to get over the line. And look, Sligo are very, very strong, and look, they do have a good history themselves in this competition. They're the sixth most successful team in the FAI Cup history. I think they're joined with the likes of St. Pat's and Drumcondra and the Roll of Honour. They have five FAI Cups under their belts. They had an amazing run there back in the 2010s. They won three titles in 4 years in 2010, 11 and 13, and also had a league title as well. But, you know, this is the first time since 22 that Sligo will be competing in this stage of a competition. I suppose it's been a new ground for them as well to be in an FAI Cup quarterfinal. They're away from home. They have had decent results away from home in the Premier this year, so they'll be looking to get a result this weekend. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very closely fought game. But I think if Kerry could just snatch it by a whisker, I don't think anyone would begrudge a very defensive performance, to say the least.
Dear, just hold the line there for a quick second. We have to take a quick break and we'll be back to chat more Kerry FC after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Kerry, welcome back to Terrace Talk in the midst of our chat with Dermot Carney on the big game for Kerry FC. Dermot, I drove into town a little earlier on today and coming into studio. Castle Street is just decked out in green and white by the Tralee Chamber for Kerry FC, and the flags are flying high off all the buildings. It is great to see the county and the town getting behind the club as well.
Oh, absolutely, you know, and being able to see all the flags being given out for supporters as well, and even for businesses, just to have them around as well. It's great. I suppose it'll create that atmosphere and buzz around the town for people that will, say, maybe want to come into the town that little bit earlier on Friday night and make a night of it and then head up to Mount Hawk Park as well. It just creates the buzz, and I suppose that's what you want as well, just to see... you know, that support around the county and really getting behind the team. I suppose that's what the management, the players and everyone in the club would be hoping to see. Obviously, as we said, the game is sold out. You probably could get a few more people in there if you could. And I suppose there will be people that will be watching it at home or trying to watch it wherever they can as well. But it's great to see that the amount of colour around the town of Tralee as well just adds that bit of more pageantry for this game.
Yeah, it's great when the visiting supporters will kind of land in off their buses and trains and might be heading in for a beverage in one of our establishments here in town, that they can see, geez, the county's really got behind the club here with the green and white. And I think that's a great welcome for Sligo, because we've often driven through Sligo heading to play Finn Harps, and we go up covering the games up there, and there's kind of Sligo stuff, you know, banners and stuff at the sides of the road and flags up and everything. So it just kind of gives that kind of League of Ireland feel, and that kind of welcome maybe to the away fans as well, and in that everyone in the town is behind them.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it'll give the away supporters a bit of intimidation already that, you know, Kerry FC are really supported in the town, and that, you know, while, you know, Kerry are in the first division, that the Premier Division big boys coming down will definitely fear them, that there's plenty of support. And look, on a full house in Mount Hawk Park, you've seen it as well, Ivan, just how vocal the home support can be, and no doubt they'll be in full voice on Friday night. It's the place to be. It will be bouncing for sure.
I'd say it'll be electric and from early on as well. Dear, I suppose just with that, it's, you know, it kind of mentioned it's probably the biggest game in the club's history, but it just does feel that getting to this stage of the competition has kind of brought on a lot of people, and maybe a lot of people who were, I wouldn't say on the fence about the project, but maybe kind of we're checking on the results. But now there seems to be this kind of glut of people who are really weighing in behind it and kind of getting involved. And for a growing club to get to the last eight of the biggest cup competition in the country can only be positive for going forward and getting more people on board and supporting it.
Absolutely. Like, I suppose over the last two seasons, you know, we were kind of saying, you know, when were they going to get their first win at home, and trying to get back-to-back wins. And when the first win arrived in 23, it was a great experience, and it was trying to build on that. And then last season as well, it was, you know, they're going to go again and try and get those results, and maybe it just didn't happen. But just this year, you can just see, you know, getting to this stage of the competition, as you mentioned before the break, you know, 90 minutes away from a semi-final and national TV coverage, and God only knows who you could draw in that respect. You know, you could have a home game in Mount Hawk Park. Like, imagine a home FAI Cup semi-final in Mount Hawk Park. Like, that would be absolutely insane. And judging by the way Kerry have been drawn in draws, home tie definitely looks a favourite there. But No, but it's great to see that, you know, there's more results coming in. And I suppose I remember when Colin was announced as Kerry manager, like he said, you know, there's going to be a process and you're going to have, it's going to take time to get there. And I suppose we've seen it this year that the growth maybe for the last two seasons is evident this year. And, you know, getting to this stage of a competition, look, we'll see what happens on Friday night. If there's another game in the cup, great. If not, you're going to play in a league game, and God only knows what will happen out of that.
Absolutely. Dearman, thanks very much. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time. Thanks to everyone who was on the show this evening. Enjoy the Kerry FC game Friday night, Dearman. Thanks to Kevin Cronin, to Dan Carney and the lads in the first hour. We'll be back next Monday evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.